Let's take our Bibles this evening and open up to the little epistle of 1 John. I had my study in Philippians done over a week ago and had every intention of sharing that this evening. But through the week, as I looked to today, it dawned on me that what I had already in Philippians was going to be way long for what we need for tonight. And so the Lord kind of redirected. And this evening, I just want to spend a little time just simply sharing why I look forward to the rapture. Aren't you looking forward to the Lord's return? When that trump sounds and we hear the voice of the Lord, I believe He'll say, "Come up hither," and we'll be gone. We'll be out of this world. And they'll take that roll call up yonder, and I'll be there. I trust you will be too. But I've got six reasons why I look forward to the rapture. 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now that right there, if we just stopped right there, we could talk all night long on that. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, how has He bestowed it? What is so special about that love? Simply, that we should be called the sons of God. I think we take that too lightly often. I think we take the name Christian very lightly. And we're so quick to name those as Christians that aren't. Pastor Buckley was telling a story about, I think it was this past week in the Bible Institute, or maybe it was between classes and we were talking, he said he was pastoring a little church down in southeastern Ohio. And one of the fellows, I'm trying to remember what denomination he was. I think United Methodist, but I'm not sure. I was always trying to get him to go to the interdenominational clergy meetings, the pastoral group in the town. And one day this fellow brought over the Church of Christ guy with him. And Pastor Buckley invited him in. They were talking over a cup of coffee. And the guy was pressing pretty hard to have him take part in their ministerial association. And Pastor Buckley looked at him and said, "Brother, how can you even fellowship with this fellow? What is your ground of fellowship?" And the guy said, "Well, we just rejoice in Christ." And Pastor Buckley, through the course of the conversation, said, "You realize that that man sitting across the table believes you're going to hell." And, of course, he's not making any friends at this point. But he looks over at the Church of Christ guy and says, "Now be honest, do you believe that man across the table from you is going to go to heaven?" At least the man was honest, and he said no. And we've got to be careful sometimes about who we call Christians. God says it's a great honor, it's a great bestowal of His love, but we take that word so lightly. But that's not the message tonight. As I said, we could talk all night long just on that one thing. Let's pick right up where we left off. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Father, we thank You for Your Word, and as we take just a few moments to consider Your imminent return, Father, may our hearts rejoice and may we be filled with excitement at the prospect of leaving this world through the rapture. Now bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses, particularly in verse number 2, as John is being inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to discuss our future, our heavenly future, I believe in verse number 2, refers to the rapture. He talks about that day when Christ will appear. And when Christ appears, John tells us, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, this is the very Word of God, he says, that we shall be like Him. And right there we have that being changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when our bodies of flesh will be changed into our eternal, glorious bodies made like unto His. Because we'll be like Him. But the first reason I look forward to the rapture is in the last part of that verse. For we shall see Him. No more by faith, but by sight. No more trying to imagine and picture in our minds what our Savior looks like. All of our imaginations are colored by the pictures and depictions we've seen of Jesus Christ. The only problem is not a single one looks like Him. Now, my oldest brother, we talked about this a little bit at lunch, but my oldest brother, when he was actually almost up to 30 years old, wore his hair almost to the middle of his back. And we would hear frequently, because he had a beard and a mustache, and he had the right color hair for the picture, much lighter than mine, but we would frequently hear, now, I can't get over people would tell me how much Mike looks like Jesus. Well, I've got news for him. He doesn't look a thing like Jesus. But all our imaginations and our minds are colored by those pictures we've all seen. And Jesus doesn't look like a single one. Sometimes in some of our more fundamental Sunday school papers, they'll make a little bit better attempt to come up with a Jew. He doesn't have blonde hair or light brown hair. A Jew has very black hair. And so we'll know what He looks like at that time. In Revelation chapter number 1, John has the privilege of trying to describe this one. Beginning in verse number 13, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." Now here's he's going to begin in verse 14 to describe what Jesus looked like that day on Patmos. "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand the seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Now note John's reaction. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." John got the privilege, whether it was in a vision or if it was in reality, of being transported into Jesus' very presence, and he describes him by the Holy Spirit of God for us, what he looks like. When we see Jesus, we'll see what John saw that day on Patmos. We'll see him face to face. No more having to rely upon imagination, no more having to rely upon faith, but we'll be able to see Him and talk to Him and fellowship with Him just as we would with a friend. And so the first reason I look forward to the rapture is because I will see my Savior face to face. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. When we talk about the rapture, this is probably the first passage of Scripture that pops into anyone's mind. It does give us a great deal of information concerning the rapture. But I just want to pick one thing out of this passage in the second half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for point number 2 as to why I look forward to the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse number 17. After he talks in verse 16 about the dead in Christ rising, he says, "Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up." Now notice these next three words. "Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so the second reason why I look forward to the rapture is because I will at that time be reunited with family and friends. I grew up in primarily a pagan family. I don't know how many of my relatives or how many of my ancestors are saved. When my brother did the genealogy, he, of course, as most people who do that, will take pictures of tombstones. And the earliest relatives he could trace back, he took pictures of their tombstone in a little church cemetery in southern Indiana. Now, what's interesting about that is it is a separate Baptist church. In other words, a Baptist church just like ours that existed right about 1800. And so I have to believe that somewhere along the line, I have some Baptist ancestors, and I can't wait to meet them. I remember going to visit my grandmother, and I was just recently sharing with my oldest brother, as we talked on the phone, about our memories of our grandmother. And his memories are much different than mine. And it's interesting because he has memories of the pagan side or the carnal side of my grandmother. And I've always, even before I was saved, had memories of her Christian side. Because every time we went to visit her, she would have Sunday school papers, much like we hand out in the adult class, and she would give them to us. All of us kids would get at least one. And boy, we treasured those things. I don't know why, probably just because Grandma gave it to us. And we didn't get to see her that often. So I have hopes of meeting my Grandma Curtis in heaven. How about you? We probably all have friends and family in heaven at this time. In the rapture, when God raises the dead in Christ first, and they're reunited with their bodies, not those old bodies that had aged and had broken down, and some of them had died of disease or accidents that damaged them physically. Not those bodies, but those new bodies, those glorious bodies, those heavenly bodies that will last an eternity. And we'll see them and we'll know them. And my, what a time of fellowship that will be after we get over being with our Lord and Savior. I think He'll take our attention first and He'll hold our attention probably for all eternity. But I look forward to the rapture just because of that great reunion day. The third reason why I look forward to the rapture is found in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 21. Well, let's read verse 20 with it. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also... Now notice that's present tense, going along with what we're told in the book of Ephesians, that we're seated in the heavenlies right now, present tense. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that's the one in which we live now. God describes it as vile, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And so the third reason why I look forward to the rapture is because I will leave this body of flesh behind and trade it in. Not actually trade it in, but will be clothed upon, as the way it's described in the book of Romans. Clothed upon with that new body. It'll be that glorious body that is like Christ's glorious body. What a wonder it will be as we read in the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, that there'll be no more death, no more pain, no more suffering. None of these effects of sin that have so ruined the bodies in which we live. No more of the aging process to slow us down and to hinder us in doing the things we want to do. But we'll have that glorious body. Won't it be wonderful to wake up? Well, I guess we never wake up once we get to heaven because we never go to bed. It's a land of eternal day. But if we decide to take a nap for some reason or other, can't imagine why, but if we did, and you got up from a 3,000-year nap, that wouldn't matter taking a 3,000-year nap. You've got all eternity. What's 3,000 years? But you know, you wouldn't be sore. Your joints wouldn't pop. You wouldn't have a stiff neck from sleeping so long, because we'll be in our glorified body. We'll be able to finally rid ourselves of this vile body that's so affected by sin. A fourth reason why I look forward to the rapture, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 27. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 27. Talking about New Jerusalem, which we acquaint with heaven. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so, a fourth reason why I look forward to the rapture is because at that time I will be free from temptation once and for all. Won't that be a marvelous day? I mean, that first day in heaven, we're not going to know what to think of ourselves. Because all of a sudden we don't have the temptation coming from without. We don't have the lusts that are being enticed. All of that will be gone. There will be nothing but our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon worshiping Him and upon serving Him. All other interests will fade away. They'll be insignificant. God says we'll remember the former things no more. Not that we'll completely forget this world, but they'll be insignificant. It doesn't matter how good or how bad we've had it. It doesn't matter anything that happened in this life, because our minds will be focused on our Savior. The tempter won't be allowed there. Now in the book of Job, we see he comes up from time to time. I don't know that he'll have much reason to come up then. There won't be very many Christians around, at least not at first. But even if he does still have entrance into heaven, he won't be allowed to tempt you. He won't be allowed to tempt me. And you know what? If he could, he couldn't. It's just that simple. If you were right now in your glorified, eternal body, made like unto Christ's glorious body, and the devil came up in person, and the devil in person sat down right smack dab beside you, and he leaned over and whispered in your ear some unholy thoughts, some unholy statements to try to divert your attention from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the worship and service of God, do you know you would not even be distracted? Not one iota. You would just simply say, "Get thee hence, Satan. The Lord rebuke thee." It'd be that simple. He would have nothing to tempt you with. That's what our new bodies will be like. That's what heaven will be like. And if that's all heaven was, that would make heaven heaven. But boy, that's just a little bit of silver lining on the top of all of everything else of being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I look forward to the rapture simply because I won't have to face temptation ever again for all eternity, time without end. And so, boy, what a glorious day that will be. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Maybe you guys don't have trouble with temptation like I do. And maybe it doesn't mean as much to you as it does to me. But, man, I look forward to that. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Who is the apostle speaking to here? Now he's including himself, he says, with us, because his life was full of this trouble. He was persecuted, he had physical ailments, you name it, he endured it. God tells us that we have rest when Jesus returns. And so the fifth reason why I look forward to the rapture is because I'll be free from all trouble. Free from all trouble. We won't have to worry where our next meal comes from. We won't have to worry about how the next bill will get paid. We don't have to worry about whether our car will make it to our destination. We don't have to worry about locking our doors because thieves might come in at night and steal what we have. We don't have to worry about burglar alarms or anything like that. We won't have to worry about speaking the name of Christ in any circumstances for fear of being persecuted. All those troubles will be gone. They'll be faded away, non-existent in heaven. And we'll have rest. Are you tired in your service of God? We ought to be. I say it from time to time that Christians really ought to be tired all the time. Now, if all we had to do was serve the Lord, we'd be fine. But we have to do more than that, don't we? We have to provide a living. We have to go to work. And we have to, really that's a poor word to use. We're allowed and have the privilege to spend time with our families. We have a lot of things going on in our lives. And so we can't focus only on the Lord. And so as we focus on the Lord, and if we're serving Him like we ought to be serving Him in this life, we ought to be so busy we don't know which way we're going, whether we're coming or leaving. We ought to be just that tired, just that busy for God. But God says there's a day coming when that'll be no more. You have a long to-do list to finish today. God says, you just bring that to heaven with you. You got all day long to get that done. And again, as I said before, it's always day. You got an eternity of day. You'll get that list done, so just sit back, take it easy, twiddle your thumbs for a little while, and just get at it when you got to get at it, when you feel like getting at it. A time of rest, free from all trouble. What a glorious day that will be when we go to heaven to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, we've got one more reason for tonight. I could probably come up with a whole bunch more, but to be honest with you, I stopped thinking of reasons at number 6 because I knew we had a business meeting tonight. But back in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12. Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." I look forward to the rapture because I will receive my eternal reward. As we're faithfully serving God in this life, we don't usually see rewards, do we? Sometimes it seems just the opposite. Sometimes it seems like the more we serve God, the more troubles and difficulties we have in life. But God says there's a great payday coming someday. R.G. Lee has that famous sermon that he preached, it was over 1,000 times in his lifetime, "Payday Someday." And he aims it at the sinner who rejects Christ, and he'll have his payday. He may think he's getting off scot-free. He may think that he's going to be fine, that when he dies, he's going to wind up in hell, and he's just going to have a big party down there with his buddies. But he's got payday coming someday for this sin and rejection of Christ, and he'll be suffering for all eternity. But for the Christian, we too have a payday someday. And if we stay faithfully serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even though we may not see it here below, God's keeping a record. And His accounting never fails. And when we get to heaven, and Jesus in this verse tells us when His reward is handed out, He says, "I'll bring it with me. I'll bring it with me." And so when we go up in the rapture and we meet Him in the air, He has His rewards for you and for me for our service to Him and our faithfulness. Our rewards are right there with Him. Now what are we going to do with these things? We see 5 different crowns for the Christian. We're not going to spend time discussing those. We have in the past. What are we going to do with those crowns? You know what's going to happen. The Bible indicates that will probably use them to give back to Christ. It'll be the only thing in heaven we have to give Him, is to give Him those rewards. We'll realize we didn't earn them. We got them by His grace and His mercy. Anything we accomplish that is worthy of earning that reward was accomplished because God used us to do it. And so I look forward to the rapture. How about you? Maybe even tonight. Maybe we'll never have to get to this business meeting tonight. We just may hear the trumpet even tonight. Father, we thank You for Your book, Your Word, the Bible, that contains such precious promises. Perhaps after salvation and the assurance of it, perhaps your soon coming, your imminent return is most precious. Father, help us to be excited and anticipating that day, that our lives will be so affected as we prepare. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.